Endeavor is a go for July 11th. For now, another bird strike is making news in New York, and Airbus collaborates with the developer of a robotic airliner tug. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 3rd, 2009. NASA reports the test fueling of the Shuttle Endeavour's external fuel tank shows no evidence of that pesky hydrogen leak that scuttled previous launches. That clears the biggest issue blocking the start of mission STS-127, which could now launch as soon as July 11th. NASA has rescheduled the launch for 7:39 p.m. on the 11th, but the disclaimer that must go with the most complicated machine ever built by man, that assumes no other problems crop up in the meantime. There's been another airliner bird strike over New York. This time it was American Airlines Flight 1256 on approach to LaGuardia Tuesday morning. The plane landed safely, but while taxiing, the pilot noticed the nose gear hydraulics were not operating correctly. The 737 was towed to the gate and all the passengers safely deplaned. It was then found that a large bird had lodged in the nose gear. Hundreds of resident Canada geese have been rounded up for euthanization in the New York area since the January ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River. CBS2 in New York reports there were 98 reported bird strikes at LaGuardia in 2008. Israel Aerospace Industries and Airbus have signed a memorandum of understanding to work together on the development of a taxi bot, an environmentally friendly, pilot-controlled, semi-robotic towing system that would allow both wide and narrow-body planes to taxi without the use of their jet engines. Taxiing tests will mate IAI's device with an Airbus A340-600 in Toulouse. The companies have agreed that if tests are successful, they may establish a joint venture to develop, certify, and market the taxi bot. IAI says the bot's special design gives the pilot full control of the system using existing airplane controls, in the same way as traditional taxiing using the plane's engines. The system requires no modification to the airplane and minimal modifications to the airport infrastructure, which will not affect existing taxiways and runways. Bell Helicopter has fired back at Eurocopter in a squabble over the patent rights to landing skids shaped like the runners of a sleigh. After Bell debuted its new 429 model, Eurocopter sued, claiming infringement of its 1999 patent. The Montreal Gazette reports that at the Paris Air Show, a French bailiff stopped a Bell demonstration on June 16th to take photos of the 429. Bell calls the move needlessly disruptive and has filed its own suit in Texas, charging Eurocopter interfered with its ability to conduct business at the show. So far, there's no word from North Pole-based Kris Kringle Enterprises, LLC, which claims the use of sleigh runners on aircraft has been in the public domain since the 19th century. Up next on ANN, Boeing assures customers that Dreamliner delays won't spill over to other programs. A Canadian faces 20 years in U.S. prison for thefts originating within the FAA. And there will be more than fireworks in the night sky this weekend. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. After the first two major delays in the development of the 787 Dreamliner, Boeing assured investors it was pulling in extra engineering help from elsewhere within the company. It's not clear how much benefit that brought, either to the stock price or to getting the 787 program back on the rails. But among those other areas of the company is the 747-8 program, which also has waiting customers. Now that the Dreamliner is in another delay of indeterminate duration, Boeing finds it necessary to reassure those other customers that the latest Dreamliner issues won't pull other programs off track. Todd Zarfus, the vice president of engineering for the jumbo jet program, tells Bloomberg, quote, "The 787 will identify the requirements they need to address their challenges, but that won't have an impact on the 747. Over the last 2 years, we've aligned our engineering resource ability to make sure we meet all our commitments," unquote. Bloomberg reports that Lufthansa, the first customer for the 747-8 Intercontinental, is concerned that additional problems with the Dreamliner will again delay the planes for which it's waiting. But Mo Yayavi, Boeing VP and general manager of the 747 program, promises, quote, "The airplane is coming together well and will be ready to fly later this year as planned," unquote. A Canadian citizen faces up to 20 years in U.S. prison after his conviction on charges of mail fraud and wire fraud. According to case records, then FAA employee Stephen B. Smith used a government computer to place unauthorized holds on property scheduled to be transferred to other federal agencies. His half-brother, 51-year-old Bradley Garner, a Canadian living in Palm Desert, California, allegedly traveled the country picking up the goods, including two 27-foot Boston Whaler boats, a Cessna aircraft, a 50-foot yacht used in the Bahamas by the Drug Enforcement Administration, and more. Garner never titled any of the boats or planes, but allegedly stored the items at his home or airport hangar or smuggled them to Canada. He's scheduled to be sentenced on September 28th. Smith faces his own separate trial slated to start on October 6th. A recommendation by the National Transportation Safety Board that the FAA develop an advisory circular about handling in-flight fires resulted in 2004's AC-120-80. The FAA has now produced a companion video and is making it available online. The video discusses the danger of in-flight fires, particularly hidden ones, the importance of recognizing the conditions associated with them, and the importance of taking immediate and aggressive action to gain access to and aggressively combat in-flight fires. The video demonstrates effective actions, including crew coordination and the application of fire extinguishing agents. The FAA suggests the video be incorporated in training programs for crew members, while at the same time stressing that approved manufacturer and company procedures should take precedence. The FAA video can be viewed online at www.fire.tc.faa.gov. If you're attending a holiday fireworks display in the U.S. Saturday night, you might get an unexpected bonus. NASA says the International Space Station will be visible for several minutes at a time, high in the sky in many locations across the U.S. The ISS is the largest spacecraft ever built, and also the most reflective. It'll be brighter than most stars at dawn and dusk, appearing as a solid glowing light, slowly traversing the pre-dawn or evening sky. It's visible when lit by the sun, while the ground below is not in full daylight. It moves across the sky too quickly to follow with conventional telescopes, but a good set of binoculars can provide enough magnification to make out major details. The station circles the Earth every 90 minutes. It's 357 feet long, 45 feet tall, and has 38,000 square feet of solar panels over a 240-foot span. Find out when it's crossing your area at www.spaceflight.nasa.gov/realdata/sightings. Still ahead, the ACLU sues an Obama administration official over abuses by TSA. An Illinois congressman thinks TSA needs more power at airports. And if that guy in 25B smelled really bad, here's his excuse. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. The explosive growth in the size of the role of the U.S. Transportation Security Administration is providing an example of varying ideas among the American people and their media about constitutional protections. The agency was created to detect threats to the security of transportation, but lately screeners are being encouraged to take on a general law enforcement role. The Wall Street Journal reports that last month, Stephen Bierfeldt, treasurer for the Campaign for Liberty, that's a political organization that grew out of Texas Congressman Ron Paul's presidential bid, was detained at the St. Louis airport because he was carrying $4,700 in cash from the sale of campaign tickets and paraphernalia in a lockbox. When the screener attempted to interrogate him, Bierfeld asked about his rights and whether he was required to answer the questions. Local police were called, and Bierfeld was threatened with arrest. He had the presence of mind to record the encounter on his iPhone, and the American Civil Liberties Union filed a suit last month on his behalf against Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. Screeners now wear badges which mimic those of real law enforcement agents, but attorney Ben Wisner, who filed the suit, commented, quote, TSA agents don't get to play cops, unquote. The Journal reports TSA has been standing behind its screeners who stray into general law enforcement activities. In the Bierfeld case, the agency reviewed the recording and determined that, quote, the tone and language used by the TSA employee was inappropriate and proper disciplinary action was taken, unquote. At the same time, the ACLU and others are warning of mission creep at TSA. The New York Times wants to see more of it. In an editorial yesterday, the paper applauds a bill introduced in the U.S. House by Congressman Daniel Lipinski, which would dictate to the airlines the allowable dimensions for carry-on bags and personal items, then put the TSA in charge of enforcing the rule at the security checkpoint. The Illinois Democrat wants a template frame, which would not allow carry-ons over the prescribed size to fit into the security machine. The Times doesn't offer any comment on exactly how this represents a transportation security issue. If you're traveling over the 4th of July weekend, you may think commercial airports are a hassle now. I'm wondering if we won't one day look back on these as the good old days. And finally today, AirTran found a novel way to promote its new GoGo in-flight internet service. A guy named Mark Malkoff arrived in Atlanta Tuesday after setting a Guinness record for the most flight segments flown in a 30-day period. Malkoff used GoGo to stay in touch with friends, fans, and family as he visited 38 cities. He posted more than 1,000 tweets, updated his Facebook page more than 700 times, and took more than 130 flights covering more than 109,000 miles on Boeing 717s and 737s. Along the way, he raced remote control cars with Danica Patrick in Richmond, challenged the famous Clements racing sausages to a foot race around an AirTran Airways aircraft in Milwaukee, and got his first shower in weeks when he was hosed down by the Bishop International Airport Fire Rescue Department in Flint, Michigan. You can see photos of Mark's adventures on www.markonairtran.com. And in case you're wondering, yes, Mark earned 100 frequent flyer credits as an A-plus rewards elite member. To celebrate his achievement, AirTran is having a contest to give away 100 credits to one lucky winner. Maybe first dibs should go to the fellow passengers who had to sit next to him after about day 4 without bathing. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation is critical of congressional micromanagement of every attempt by the FAA to move forward with new technology, sometimes based on nothing more than spin from the Controllers Union. By the way, he also calls the aviation user fees he advocates a huge uphill battle. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at www.aero-news.net. If you're celebrating the U.S. Independence Day holiday, whether you're driving, flying commercial, barbecuing at home, or going somewhere in your personal aircraft, have a great time and stay safe. We'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.